Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, praise the Lord, and welcome to Laborers for Christ Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering. We appreciate your presence here. We honor God as He allows us to assemble together in peace, in power, and in might. We have authority, and as we touch and agree with heaven, we release and declare it on earth. It is the prayer of Laborers for Christ Word Life Center to release this prayer in this time, in this season. This prayer is the culmination of the heart, the ministry, and its leaders. And let us pray. Lord, we come to you in the magnificent name of Jesus, standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters that have been affected by this coronavirus. And we stand on the declaration of healing and victory. We praise the name of Jesus, who is our healer, our deliverer, and our chief physician, and our Savior. According to John 14:14, we decree physical healing, deliverance, spiritual surgery, and salvation from the angel of death for our brothers and sisters. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over and again, age issues that would cause them to be vulnerable against this virus. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over and against the lack of resources and against the lies and attacks of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over and against depression and a defeated spirit, against generations and professed curses. Oh, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over and against the feeling of abandonment and isolation and defenselessness and the assignment of the enemy may have and the opportunity the enemy may try to take against them. We declare dominion, power, and victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command the body system, the respiratory system, the immune and lymphatic system, the nervous system, the intricate system, the endocrine system, the digestive and excretion system, the urinary system, and the muscular and the skeleton system to line up with Isaiah 53:5, because Jesus was wounded for their transgressions, bruised for their iniquities, and the chastisement of their peace, and received stripes for their healing. May the blessing and promise of Isaiah 53:5 be upon them in the name of Jesus. We also ask you, O Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we ask you, O God in heaven, our mighty God, we ask you to address the issues that arise because of this order of quarantine. We pray for our brothers and sisters as they are being quarantined, some from their spouses, their children, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, and their friends. Feel the void that they are feeling, power, oh my God, of your presence and of your power. And instead, quarantine them from fear, doubt, and the systematic and sympathetic lies, demonic irritation, emotional weaknesses, physical and spiritual deficiencies, stress, complaining, and the basic frustration of their situation. Lord, let your glory fill their hospital rooms, their homes, and their jobs, and wherever they may find themselves and may have to go. We bind every stage of sickness and disease and every demonic torturing spirit and strong man, the manifestation, multiplication, and spread of this disease, its symptoms, and the virus in their bodies. We lose the virtue of God and his medicine in abundance into and over their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. We lose the angel of God to minister and protect our brothers and sisters as well as everything that pertains to them. Lord God in heaven, thank you. Thank you, God, for the firewall of protection that yields everyone involved, family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, and every medical professional from the infection and its contamination, and all those, oh God, on the front line, giving of themselves because of the needs that others have. We thank you and we pray, oh God, your covering upon them. We release praise and worship into the atmosphere. Saints, let us release praise and worship into the atmosphere. All on one accord, let us release praise and worship into the atmosphere. Lord, we catch our brothers and sisters in the spirit,
hallelujah,
Holy Father, and allow your prophetic vessels to call their names out. There are some that have reached out to the ministry, and we call their name out. Sharon Williams, Robin, and all those nurses and medical workers on the front line. Minister Prather, Apostle Poston, Prophet Connie, and then the wife of our own Deacon Alonzo Hall. We call their name out. If you have names of those that you know and have requested prayer, we ask you call their name out as we release a praise and worship in the atmosphere so that the Almighty God will overcome and will his power will be released in the earth realm through his children who are praising and worshiping and trusting in him. And we declare and we decree these things now. We do it now. And we pray this in the almighty name, Jesus. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are going to now turn the remainder of our gathering for prayer and teaching into the hands of our ambassadorial prophet, Prophet Michael Henderson. Prophet.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk family. Good evening, Overseer. Thank you. Thank you for such a powerful prayer. We touch and agree with those words that have been proclaimed, and we continue to decree and declare the healing power of God over our nation and directly over individuals who we are in contact with. We celebrate what God is doing. We praise him for this reset opportunity that he has given each and every one of us to continue to draw closer to his will and his purpose and his plan for our lives. We continue to confess that our God does not have a plan B. He knows exactly what he is doing, and he is in full control. Amen. And we are excited about that. We are excited that we are living out Jeremiah 29:11. We know that he knows his thought towards us, and that thought is good. It is not evil. It is to give us a future and a hope. It is to bring us to an expected end, and we celebrate that. We trust that he is in full control. And so we continue to make praise, confession, Claire, as we started this season off, declaring that this was the year of an open mouth. So as a body and as a community, we don't sit on the sidelines quietly. We decree and declare what the Lord has said, and we know that it will come to pass, because according to Genesis, all that God said he saw, and all that he said was good. And so we just continue to make joyful confession. And with that, we make the joyful confession of Psalms 100 that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. And we make the praise confession according to Psalms 135, 1 through 3, that says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts, in the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And then we make the praise confession of Psalms 34, 1 through 8, that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Amen, amen. So that is our continual confession. That is our continual praise confession during this time as we continue to lift up and bless the name of our Lord. Amen. And so we are in agreement with the prayer that has already been prayed, and we are excited that you are here listening, attentive, and we are ready to continue to have this dialogue and share in this revelatory conversation that we have been doing. As always, it is exciting to have your participation, and we appreciate the conversation and you sharing your revelation and allowing and sharing with us what God has shared with you. So we do want to go back and continue to look at our transformational leader concept. And we began this conversation on last week as we started to identify three kind of transformational leaders. And so we're going to again give you a definition and a prophetic declaration for those transformational leaders. And then we want to continue to excavate the scripture and then look at the conversation about these leaders and pray that we will continue to glean from your thoughts as we maturate together in this conversation. So you've had a week to kind of ponder and think about it. And so I'm excited to hear from you what God has shared in your heart. When we talk about these transformational leaders, we've identified three kind of transformational leaders. And so if you are taking notes, this is when you want to grab your pen, you want to grab your paper so that you could begin to take notes so that we can start testing you to make sure that you are listening. You're not just got the phone out and you washing dishes. You are attentive. You are soaking in and you are listening for revelation so that you can engage in conversation. Amen. So I'm going to start testing you. Amen. Amen. Find out the numbers on the phone and start sending you tests so that we can know that you are here. And so that we can continue to learn from you. So when we talk about this transformational leadership, we identified three transformational leaders. So write this down because it may be on the test. Number one, we talked about Martha, and we identified Martha as a purpose-driven leader. We talked about Martha, and we identified her as a purpose-driven leader. And then our next transformational leader was Mary, and we identified Mary as this person-driven leader, the person-driven leader. And we're going to separate these and give you some dialogue and some conversation so that you can have a clear definition. And then lastly, we talked about Lazarus, and we identified Lazarus as the people-driven leader, the people-driven driven leader. So we're talking about three transformational leaders. Number one, Martha, the purpose-driven leader. And then number two, we talked about Mary, who we said is the person-driven leader. And then we talked about Lazarus, who is the people-driven leader. Now, you can find their stories in Luke 10, 38, 40 through 42. So basically Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42 is where we find Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' story. And then also we find their story in John 11. John 11. So Luke 10, 38, Luke 10, 38 through 42. And then John 11, we can really look at the entire passage of scripture, or we can stop around the 45th verse. But Luke 10, 38 through 42, and John 11. So we've given what we call a prophetic definition or a description of a transformational leader. So let's write this down. When we talk about these transformational leaders, one of the things to point out is that these leaders are specifically anointed to close the generational gap. They are designed to close the generational gap. And what do we talk about that when we say the generational gap? We're talking about living in a day where in one setting we can have all generations represented. And when we talk about all generations, we break the generations down from this perspective. Number one, the silent generation. Those are individuals born between 1928 and 1945. Number two, the baby boomer generation. Individuals born between 1946 and 1964. Then we talk about generational X. These are individuals born between 1965 and 1980. Then you have your millennials who are born 1981 through 1996. Then you have your Generation Z or your centennials. They call them. They're born 1997 through 2007. And then you have your alpha. That's what their name is. It's your 2007 and under. And so when we talk about these trends in a society or in a generation now where you can have all generations represented, and this is one of a kind. There was not a day in the silent generation where all generation was represented. But now we live in a day where we can have individuals as old as 90 in 2007, as young as 5, all in a building at one time. And that is a blessing. That is something to be excited about. And when we talk about these transformational leaders, God has specifically anointed these transformational leaders to close the generational gap. They fulfill the prophetic mandate that says, a generation yet created will praise the name of the Lord. And these leaders have been given this kind of assignment, this kind of anointing, where they will emerge the generation to one nation with a specific decree to declare the name of the Lord. And I will say that again. You want to remember that thought. These generation, these transformational leaders are anointed where they can emerge the generations to one nation that will praise the name of the Lord. And that is exciting. And I want you to be able to take that and run with it, because God has blessed you as a transformational leader, has given you such a wonderful assignment and mandate. And when we look at what the scripture says, Jesus said that you would do greater work. And this is part of the greater work. Jesus himself was not in a season where he could speak to all generations, but you are. You are in a season where all generations represented, is possibly represented in one place, and we can declare the name of the Lord. And that becomes a spiritual importance and responsibility, because we live that. We see that in our ministry. We have, and we did this before, we have all generations represented in our house. We have silent generation. We have baby boomers. We have generational X. we have millennials, we have generational Z, we have alpha, all in our expense. And that is to open your prophetic eye. That is to pull on your thought. That is to pull on the gift side of you. Because what happens, which is also a description for these generational, these transformational leaders, write this down. They are thought leaders. They are world changers. They are anointed with innovation and creativity. I'll say it again. They are thought leaders. They are world changers. They are anointed with They're anointed with innovation and creativity. They have specific assignments from heaven that is resting in the womb of their spirit that will be brought forth in this decade. They are pregnant with a divine purpose. They have been given an assignment to introduce this world to things they have yet seen and bring the will of God to the earth. These thought leaders, these world changers, they are anointed with invitation. They are anointed with creativity and innovation. They have specific assignments from heaven resting in the womb of their spirit that will breathe, that will be brought forth this decade. God has given them the ability to introduce this world to the things they have not yet seen and bring the will of God to the earth. Amen. God has made a covenant with these leaders to bless and multiply them. He will reveal the mystery of his will that will lead them to his eternal promises. These transformational leaders have nations in them, and they will give birth to kings and holy people who will declare the word of the Lord. These transformational leaders will advance the kingdom and expand the border of the gospel message. God has declared that they will lead in the head of their class and their shoulders rest above all others. They are raised up with multiple assignments, and they are carrying greatness on the inside of them. These history makers serve as agents of transformation that will change the trajectory of a city, a community, a culture, a state, and a nation. These individuals are anointed with multiple assignments. So I'm excited to minister and to stir up this prophetic grace, this prophetic mandate in you as a transformational leader. So what we did was we identified three kinds of transformational leaders. And the important part of it is to identify this. Number one, you want to write this down also, all of these leaders are under one house. All of these leaders are under one house. And that is so important for us. That is so important for us to embrace, because they're not three leaders serving in three different, they are not three leaders serving in three different places. They are leaders serving in different capacity under one house. And so it's very connect. It's very important for you to be connected to the vision of the house. It's very important for you to understand the mandate, the mission, the vision, and where the house is going, because I believe these three kind of transformational leaders serve as the conduits who brings this one vision to pass. Though they may serve, they operate completely different. They have three different, let's say, leadership style, yet they are all under one house serving one vision. And that's so important as well. So let's identify them again. Number one, the Martha. We call her the purpose-driven leader. Martha, the person-driven leader. We said this leader has a strong work ethic They are all about getting the work done. This leader is strong-willed. They may have big personalities. They're not afraid to lead your team. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They are not afraid of getting the job done. I'll slow down if you're trying to write, and I will repeat. So Martha, we have these Martha kind of leaders. These leaders have a strong work ethic. They are all about getting the work done. This leader is strong-willed. They have a big personality. They will lead your team. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They are not afraid of getting the job done. They are all about the work. They are all about the work. They are deadline driven. They want things turned in. And they have a strong sense of order and protocol. Your Marthas will whip you in shape. All right, so let's look at that again. These leaders have strong work ethic. They are all about getting the work done. This leader is strong-willed. They may have big personalities. They're not afraid to lead your team. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They are not afraid of getting the job done. They are all about the work. They are deadline driven. They want things turned in, and they have a strong sense of order and protocol. All right, Martha leaders. Any Martha leaders out there?
Amen.
This is when we dialogue. Amen. Amen.
That's what Shanette.
Now that was
somebody spoke for our leader, huh? Yeah.
Martha leader, I wouldn't have thought that. Okay.
She said she ain't a Martha leader.
It's Apostle Chanel all the way.
If I didn't know your middle name, I would have said it was Martha.
Hey, watch it. Don't be talking about my past. All right, let me hear from a Martha leader. Tell me what you relate, what you think when you hear that.
I think that Martha realized Jesus was coming and things needed to be prepared for the king. And Martha had was willing to make sure the job was done. And when she was finished, she knew she would have time to worship because her work is her worship.
Amen.
And all of you all get to sit at his feet because Martha is making it happen. Now, I'm not a Martha.
Now, I mean, this is overseer. I believe I am a Martha leader. I don't know so much that pastor is a Martha leader because she is not work-driven. No, she drives to get the work done, but that's not what drives her. What drives me is getting the work done. So that's why I don't think necessarily that our apostle is a Martha, you know, just because she labors, you know, that's just for everybody. I know that I am, you know, well, maybe she is. You flow in Exodus.
Huh?
We may agree, yeah. Apostle and overseer agree. And we actually cut. Yeah. It's not social, acceptable.
Oh, <my God. laughs>
elbow or whatever. But anyway, yeah. So I think that, but really for a Martha leader, things, there are certain things that have to get done. And they're the things that the Lord requires. When she was in the kitchen, the disciples, they needed to be fed.
Yeah.
They had been out. They had, you know, and so she was preparing, you know, that that was what was driving her, was the need of the people. Right.
To meet the need.
So I think that, you know, maybe, you know, when there is a teaching that's going forth, then there are certain calls that must be met, deadlines that must be met to get people to be even properly discipled. You know, okay, she wants to go to the next leader. But that, as a Martha, that's the way I look.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was waiting until they finished on apostle, but then I wanted to say overseer is really
Martha,
because as I have been in the years working with her. Hello.
Thing I want to interrupt. Kingdom Church rule. You tell what you are.
Oh, I thought he asked. Okay, maybe I didn't understand the question. I thought he asked, who do you know as other Martha leaders? I knew I'm not a Martha leader. But okay, no problem there. Sorry.
I'm just messing with you, Ms. Pratt.
But it's Pastor Rogers. I know I'm Martha because I like protocol.
Yeah, yeah. She likes things in order and done and
getting the work done
in order and no halfway.
Yes, that's Pastor Rogers, and I want to be like Mary. I see apostle. I see a lot of Mary and apostle, and but I see Martha and overseer. So working together, we can get the best. I'm looking for the Lazarus, but I love laborers because I see all three in laborers. So.
Amen. Apostle is in rare form tonight.
But I'm Martha. I believe it. But I might, if you can show me that, I might be Lazarus. But as far as I know, I'm Martha.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Well, let's move on. Let's get a Mary definition.
Can you be all three?
I think you can.
That's an overachiever. That would be an overachiever.
Okay, that's an overachiever. All right. So, all right, let's look at Martha again. We said Martha is this leader, has a strong work ethic. They are all about getting the work done. This leader is strong will. They often can have big personalities, and they will lead your team. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They are not afraid of getting the job done. They are all about the work. They are deadline-driven. They want things turned in, and they have a strong sense of order and protocol. Then we have your Mary, the person-driven leader. They are
Mary.
They are your Mary, the person-driven leader. They are your let-me-pray-about-it leaders. They are sensitive about not wanting to mess up. They work best alone. They are note takers. They will follow specific instructions. They will do as they are told, and they will not react like a Mary, my Martha. They will not react like a Martha. They are more so about responding. That is your Mary kind of leader.
And do that again.
Your Mary leader. They are your let me pray about it leaders. They are sensitive about not wanting to mess up. They work best alone. They are team players, more so than leaders. They are note takers and will follow specific instructions. They will do as they are told. They will not react like a Martha. They will respond.
Amen.
Wow. Where they at?
All righty.
that was Apostle.
Okay.
He said, where they at?
Apostle, I thought you was Mary.
Oh no, I'm not Mary.
No.
I'm a Mary.
I'm most definitely a Mary.
I'm a for sure Mary.
You bet. Minister Katie.
Hey, yeah.
Definitely.
That was okay. Definitely
Mary. I'm definitely a Mary.
You are definitely a Mary. Any mm-hmm. other Marys?
What about Prophet Henderson?
I'm teaching. You gonna find me
right,
and hear what this was, and then I
know. That was a Lazarus.
Okay.
Terrible
man. He's
Lazarus. I'm working on you. That's your
mother.
Well, you know, I said I'm mostly Mary, but I do have some character traits of Martha because I am definitely a protocol type of person. I do lead teams, but, you know, I don't tend to do that inside the ministry. And I've been told I'm strong-willed. I don't see it like that, but, you know, it's because that Mary and me don't want to mess it up. You know, I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond, you know, according to protocol. You know, that's why I asked if you could have traits of all three.
Yes, humility.
No, that whole don't mess it up thing, I'm going to give it to his prophet because he is definitely the instructor for the hour. But if this was a counseling class, I would say that has everything to do with being performance-driven and the fear of failure.
We can add to that. We do this together. Let me write that down. Did y'all get that?
It was kind of soft, but
all right.
I did.
I'm always scared to do it because I don't want to fail. I don't want to mess it up. I want to get it right, and that is performance driven. And it brought me back to the book of Search for Significance.
And you know, I think that may even be an example of, as God is perfecting us, the things that we were born with, that was in our womb, has been kind of misdirected and has been polluted by some of the standards and mindsets of the world. And so it has polluted us. But in its purest form, I believe that that's where we would be, you know, as God is perfecting us and taking away the fear of freshness, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, you know, the fear of shame. And as he heals us of those things, then I think it will come further to the surface that that perfected transformative leader.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Anyone else?
Well, we got some more people on the line.
Okay. I saw Mary as a focus. She stayed focused on what she wanted. You know, when I see Mary sitting at the feet, she knew what she wanted and she was not going to detour or be distracted. So that's why I had said Apostle was a Mary leader, but then when you gave me those different characteristics, I kind of moved her out of that spot. So with Mary, could you repeat it again for me? Because I only
sure.
Sure.
Okay. All right, let's go through all three of them. I just wanted to give us some time to have dialogue, and we will repeat and continue to have conversation. All right. So we call Martha our purpose-driven leader. This leader is definitely about purpose. They have a strong work ethic. They are all about getting the work done. This leader is strong-willed. They have big personalities, often have big personalities, and will lead your team. They look to work with others who have similar personalities. They are not afraid of getting the job done. They are all about the work. They are deadline-driven. They want things turned in, and they have a strong sense of order and protocol. Then we have your Mary, that we said they are your person-driven leaders. They are your let-me-pray-about-it leaders. They are sensitive about not wanting to mess up. They work best alone. They are more team players. They are note-takers and will follow specific instructions. They will do as they are told. They will not react like a Martha. They will respond, and then our apostle adds, they can also struggle with fear of failure and can be performance-driven. Then we have your Lazarus, which is your people-driven leaders. They are your last-minute leaders. They show up, they jump in, and they work. They are people-pleasers and look to make everyone comfortable. They are not afraid to work, but they won't always follow order. They are both a leader and a team player. They have likable personalities, and they look to work. Huh?
I think we should call that the Henderson style.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Your phone is dead.
What did she say?
She say nothing. She
didn't say nothing.
And I know that the prophet last time you did put in there that the Lazarus, they're loved by God and the people around him. Like he said, he's loved by God and his sister. And that he was a one another fellowship. So I would have said that you were like Lazarus just from the examples that and the faith you gave last week. Miracles, you know, that prophetic calling forth of that which we don't see and don't even know to hope for until you speak it out on some level as a prophetic declaration. And it's for the people. It's to edify the people, to cause them to grow and have that kind of faith in God that does create miracles. So that's why I and represent miracles. That's why I said that you were Lazarus, not all the stuff you mentioned this time. But, you know,
thank you, overseer. Thank you for the overseer.
Amen.
I'm writing down what you said.
That is you. God can trust you to die because he knows that you, he can trust him to die and to be the person that he can perform the miracle through. He will not interfere with God's process.
Okay. What Apostle said. Let me write that down. Hold on.
We are encouraged by your word, Prophet.
I am. Me too. Y'all encouraging me.
Amen.
All right. Do we have any Lazarus kind of leaders in the house?
You got to read the definition again.
Okay, I got to read all of the added definition. So we said the Lazarus, they are the people-driven leader. They are your last-minute leaders. They show up and jump in. They are people-pleasers. They can be people-pleasers. And they look to make everyone comfortable. They are not afraid to work, but they won't always follow order. They are both a leader and a team player. They have likable personalities, and they look, this is the added definition, to work through the ministry of one another. They represent miracles. God can trust this leader to die and work his miracle through even after their death, even after their death process.
What you doing?
I am a Lazarus ministry then.
I'm half a Lazarus. I think half a Lazarus.
I don't think I show up at the last minute, though, but I do think the other part is where I love to be a people pleaser, which I'm trying to get past that. I do work, love the work. I do, I just believe everything you said that I show up to get the job done, and I do like order, you know. But I do see not the monster, but the Mary in me too. So, but intertwining. But the most one I see is, you know, showing up, getting the job, and want to get, you know, and I love working for the Lord. And if anybody disagrees, then that's okay too. I'm learning how to self criticism so I can grow and mature and go and be where God wants me in the season. So I need it. So if any,
I'll call her. Lazarus don't want to follow orders.
Huh?
Did you say that? Lazarus would not always follow orders.
Lazarus would not always follow orders.
Right, that's what I wrote.
Oh, I know the word.
That's why I said Mary and Lazarus.
All right, so let's look at that. Let's look at them all under one roof. So let's look at there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, say it. Hey.
Say it again.
Pastor Marnette is going to give you her type.
Okay.
I'm a Lazarus.
By Mary.
I was going to say, we know that one.
We needed that. She's a Lazarus by Mary.
Lazarus by Mary. I like it. That's funny.
That's by blood. Christ. Yeah.
So who are you by blood?
She's a Lazarus. I was just messing with her.
Before the foundation of the earth, I'm a Lazarus.
Amen.
You know what? I swallow it in this.
Maybe you like it so well.
All right, let's look at that story. Let's look at Luke 10:38 down to verse 42. Luke 10:38 through 42. Let's have some dialogue about this scripture in our last 10 minutes. So, again, one of the things that we wanted to definitely point out is the fact that these are all kind of leaders under one house. I want us to keep emphasizing that because oftentimes we need all three to work together, or sometimes a Mary can look at a Martha, and a Martha can look at a Mary, or a Martha will look at Lazarus and say, look at this. But really understanding that we are all three kind of transformational leaders, and when we talk about this one definition, they are emerging and closing the generational gap. They are these individuals. They are thought leaders, world changers, and are anointed with creativity and innovation. And I think that that's very important for us to look at. And also part of our definition is they have specific assignment, and really understanding our specific assignment and identifying that specific assignment in the particular house we're all under. And that is just a continual engaging conversation that we talked about when the scripture said that we were employed for a house. And so really understanding that what we bring to the table may often look different in the house that God has employed us in as these transformational leaders with these thought leaders and these world changers, and understanding that the ultimate goal for this transformation is to change the trajectory of a city, a community, a culture, a state, and a nation. And when we talk about these individuals being anointed with multiple assignments, we also understand that not every assignment inside of them is assigned to the house that they're in. And so part that I like about
even our house that a lot of us may not understand. We are one house, but we definitely have multiple streams in how our house operate. Our house operate and function as a church, Labors of Christ Word Life Center. We also operate and function as a ministry, Labors for Christ Ministry. We also function and operate as a community center, MC Thornton Christian Resource Center. And then we also function and operate as an apostolic seven-mandate house when you are connected to our AEN. And so you may have multiple assignments that God has anointed you to operate out of the streams of the multiple things that come out of our house, but understanding that they look very different through each stream. And we started that kind of conversation, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and really understanding that. And so oftentimes, you know, leaders come, and they come to Labors of Christ Word Life Center for the very specific assignment. Then we have CCTI. Apostle can give you all of our strengths, but, you know, oftentimes a leader can come at Word Life Center, and really you are there as a transformational leader to be healed, to deal with what is going on inside of you. And you may not ever work out of Word Life Center, but you may be very much have an assignment for AEN. You may have an assignment for MC Thornton Christian Resource Center. You may have an assignment for CCTI, or you may come and operate out of our house, but you are being taught and healed through CCTI. And we can kind of continue to excavate and talk about that conversation. And I believe what that does is it opens us up. It opens us up to have a clear understanding and operate out of our specific assignment. And when we look at this particular passage of scripture, and when we talk about Pastor Apostle started to open it up a little bit, you know, Mary's assignment at that time in this particular house in Luke 10 was not Martha's assignment. And Martha was very frustrated by that because she was the one had the her that work assignment and had to do it, and that frustrated her. And we will look at the conversation as it relates to what was going on. So again, Luke 10:38. I am reading out of the Passion Version of the Bible, and it reads as follows. And Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey. They came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her, 'Get up and help me.'" The Lord answered her, "Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing more important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her." All right, let's read it out of another version of the Bible. So that was out of the Passion. Now let's read it out of the Voice, Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem and came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Martha, interrupting Jesus, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get over here and help me." "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and concerned about a million details, but really, only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her." All right, we have 5 minutes. Tell me what you heard. What's your thought about that scripture, kind of based on what we're talking about and even looking at their definitions? Anyone?
I wanted to read out of the New Living Translation.
Please do. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we had the part where Martha welcomes it into the house, and she asks Jesus, it says here, "Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." And then it says, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried about and upset over all these details.'" And then Jesus says in red, "But there is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So something that Apostle said earlier about Martha, Mary couldn't have sat there if Martha hadn't made sure that everything was ready for Jesus, that the people there were going to get fed. And so my question to Apostle, Overseer, and Prophet is, if that was essential, and this version says that Mary had discovered the only thing worth being concerned about, are Martha's missing something?
I would just like to say that he didn't say what Martha was doing wasn't what she was supposed to do. He was addressing why she was anxious in doing what she was supposed to do. So he was letting her know, don't be anxious in your task, because no matter what your task is, and Mary has a different task, she realizes she wasn't going to be anxious about it. So I think he was really addressing her emotion, not what she was doing, but how she felt about what she was doing. Because her eyes were around her looking for order and protocol, and she didn't see any. And so I think he was just assuring her, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Just rejoice in it. You don't let what they're doing, you know, change how you feel about what you're doing. Because that was the assignment to you. Because it was Martha who had really welcomed Christ into the house. It wasn't Mary. He was around there somewhere, but Martha was taking care of the business and welcomed the master into the home. And so I don't think that he was judging what each was doing. He was addressing Martha's attitude about what
you
were doing.
Awful. Oh, no, I would definitely say I thank you, Overseer, for that clarity. I'm definitely in agreement with what you were conversating about. And I think I believe that's Pastor T and that particular version, I think the key word for me was Mary discovered, you know, and to add to what Overseer said, Mary discovered her part, and he said, "I will not that away from her," you know, and I think that is also a very key when we look at these transformational leaders identifying their specific assignment. And so Mary discovered her specific assignment, whereas I would say Martha hadn't, because she was looking at Mary's. And as Overseer was saying, if she discovered that, hey, she was the one who welcomed, it was her house, you know, she was the transformational leader to set up what was happening. And all she could see was what Mary wasn't, or couldn't see Mary's specific assignment, or wanted Mary in her assignment when Jesus said, "Mary discovered hers, and that I won't take away."
Uh-huh.
Did that help, Pastor T?
Would I be wrong to say that Martha, by her having the home and welcomed Jesus in her home, that she welcomed the foundation of the word to be ministered, and that when you say the leaders, that the Martha leaders are the leaders who take charge, who do the teaching and the preaching, and the Marys are the ones that are the students. She sat at his feet. She was a student of the word. And then you have the Lazarus, who you say was the, you know, would do things in a pinch, so to speak. You know, would raise up and do things in a pinch.
Hey, man, thank
so
you. That's
it's
our
like,
whole
it's
idol.
Like the found. Beg your pardon?
I said, that's oh,
our
I'm Ohio
sorry.
Visitor. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. I like that. I was going to say, who was that? I was trying to hit a voice. No, thank you for adding that to the conversation.
Boy.
Yes, thank you for adding that to the conversation. I like that. I like that. I like that take on it. Thank you. Anyone else?
Over here, I got one because I went on, when I was reading it in New Living Translation, it took me back to Cain and Abel, where Cain was upset because when God accepted Abel's gift, and same thing, he was too busy watching his brother. And Martha, I'm reading that she was worried that what she had to do, in other words, her assignment, she was complaining because it sounded like she informed Jesus. My Bible said she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair for you that my sister just sit there while I do all the work? So that's like she was complaining. And then she said, tell her to come and help me. So she's delegating to Jesus. And I was thinking that with Martha in this situation, her focus was on herself, whereas at the end in verse 42, it said, there is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. So when you put God first and you know that, I'm going back to the Mary director. When you know that you know what you're doing and your assignment, you won't let nothing discourage you or distract you. And this is why I was looking at Mary as that divine leader that stays focused no matter what, that she knows what she's going after, and she's not going to let anyone distract her. So, give me some more enlightenment on Mary, because when we wrote down, he say Mary, they work alone and let prayer. Well, I can say that's why I was looking at Apostle, because when I see Apostle work, she works. She has a humble spirit, but she never gets distracted where she doesn't do what she's supposed to do, even though we may be Marthas. She doesn't allow the Martha to distract her, where Martha can easily be distracted. And this is why she was worrying about all the details of what needed to be done. Okay, I'm done.
But I also think as a leader, the Martha as a leader, that Jesus had to let her know that she really didn't need the help, that she could really handle the task that was at hand. She could organize and do whatever the task was at hand. I mean, we could. Okay, I'm through.
But that's why I went back to Cain and Abel, because he asked Cain, why are you distraught? And he told him what to do. And he told him if he continued to stay in that, I don't know verbatim what he said, but he said that sin lay at the door. If you continue to stay in that state of worrying or
but when you go to the resurrection of Lazarus, okay, it was 4 days, so they both complained, Martha and Mary. You know, had you been here, he would still be alive.
Right.
So, yeah, Martha is kind of a complainer. You know, she wants things done and she wants it, you know, the way she wants it. And that's just the way her personality to me came across.
You know what, Apostle taught this lesson years ago, where you can have two people who have the same title. I'll use it as titles. You can have two people with the same title, but their gifts will separate them in how in the function of what they're called to do. It'll look different based on who the individual is. My mother actually raised her children after this format right here. It was kind of gender biased, but that's what we all say. We say gender biased. In that, if we had visitors who came to the house, you were going to have the parent of the house to stay with the visitors, and you were also at some point going to have the male figures in the house to be with the visitors, and then you were going to have the female children fixing the drinks. They were going to be making the meals. You know, they were not going to be entertained by the guests. Now, at some point, once the work was done, you know, we could sit and we would, you know, keep company with the company. But my mother's family, she very much raised us after this Mary, Martha, Lazarus format.
Good conversation. Apostle, were you going to say something? I just want to keep to our hour of power. We're like 7 minutes over. I kept hearing you say something, but I'm glad we are excavating and talking. Apostle, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, that's okay.
Well, can I add something, please? I just want to say that I thank you all for this lesson today. I never proceed to look at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in the leadership form. And it's very interesting, and I truly enjoyed your lesson.
Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for adding to the conversation. And again, I love the conversation we were going. Evangelist Katie, brought something I definitely want to keep in the forefront. I want us to look at it. I don't want us to look, you know, and it's, I don't want us to see it in any negative way. I want us to continue with this thought behind these are three transformational leaders. Their assignment, their gifting, their anointing, their calling, and we can go through all of that. You know, that's Labor for Christ talk. It's very much going to look different in operation with under one house. That is definitely the key that I want us to look at. I want us to always look at these leaders through the lens of they are all under one house. And definitely within the content of the scripture, as we examine it, it's almost that we can do this comparison. And I don't necessarily want us to do the comparison as we talk about this conversation, but I want us to look at how all three function and how all three respond. And I love where whoever was that, where we're going to go next week as we even talk about this John 11 and see how these three, the two sisters responded to Jesus. All three responded to Jesus because Mary responded a certain way, Martha responded a certain way, and Lazarus responded a certain way. And then we want to look at how that house looked it different, the same house looked it different after Lazarus' resurrection. So for those of you all, this conversation continues to excite you and stir you up. Let's look ahead at John 11, and let's begin to have this continued dialogue and conversation. Thank you. Thank you. Hands, claps, claps hands claps on the back and hand claps in the front. Thank you for bringing revelation and insight to the conversation. Thank you for adding to this learning experience. I am maturating. I pray that each and every one of you are maturating as well as we are continue to talk about this conversation. So thank you again. And if there is any last-minute thoughts, Apostle, any last-minute announcements, Overseer?
Don't forget Sunday is drive-in worship. All of the worship will happen in the parking lot, in our cars. You feel free to, you know, wear your pajamas, to bring your breakfast, to have your latte. You know, you can, it's in your car. So be as comfortable as you need to be able to worship. So we're excited about what that will look like on this Resurrection Sunday. And
come on,
my clothes, oh, you can wear your jeans, you wear anything you want to wear. You bring your pets. You can't let them out, but you can bring them.
Mm-hmm.
And then my closing remark, phenomenal lesson, ambassadorial prophet, phenomenal. I truly enjoyed it. But I just want to, you know, add this little insert to it. It was Martha's house. Mary could only discover what the one thing that had not been done. And because of the outstanding leadership of Martha, her insight into her member Mary left her an opening to have an opportunity to worship God because she left that available for her. Martha went wrong like all of us do. We focus on the task and we lose sight. But that's why the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Martha was given much. She had to do more. And she focused on the more as opposed to appreciating the anointing to accomplish the more.
Amen.
So welcome to my house.
Hey, man, welcome. Welcome to the house. Thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate all conversation. Thank you. Please invite someone else to come and be a part of this conversation as we will continue to look at this on next week and continue to talk about these transformation leaders and glean and learn from their process as we embrace our own process. Exodus 34, 10 and 11 says, I'm about to make an extraordinary covenant with you before the eyes of all your people. I will do miraculous things that have never been done among any nation on earth. All of the nations living around you will witness the work that I do, for everything I do among you will inspire fear and awe. You must be very careful to obey the instructions I give you today. I'm about to force the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hevesites and the Jebusites out of your land that you will inherit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you.